Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Hate Mail Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
You could call it that.
You could, huh?
Dear Car Talk, I just want to warn you that if you don't do something about that show of yours, I'm going to tell the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. By the way, this is written in what seems to be a child's handwriting. Wouldn't you say? Maybe not.
No, I don't know. Really, it's hard to know.
I'm going to write, tell the EPA to put a ban on your program. I'm tired of you polluting the airwaves with all those dumb jokes. I think your show is absolutely awful, and I'm sure that there are others who agree with me. Mm. It would also be greatly appreciated if you would stop saying, "Don't drive like my brother," at the end of each program. I've never seen either of you drive, but it can't be that bad. Finally, you say that you run a mechanic shop. I don't believe you. Nobody in their right mind would let either of you work on their cars. Signed, Melissa Peterson, Seattle, Washington, P.S. You might get more callers if you didn't insult the ones that you got. P.P.S. My dog hates your show.
You all right?
P.P.P.S. You said you wanted more mail. Well, here it is. I hope you're satisfied. Woo! Talk about venom.
Wow, that
good was, grief.
That was pretty potent. Well,
that was.
It'd be hard to top that one, wouldn't it?
It would. That's what I call fan mail. We get 1,000 of those a week.
But it's good to know that, I mean, she thinks that much of us that she wrote that lengthy letter.
Did. Hey, I asked for the mail, didn't I?
You got it.
I'll take anything.
Anyway, if you have any more PSs to add to that, or better yet, if you have a question about your car, give us a call because we need something here to boost our spirits. We're down now.
Wow.
The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Gloria, and I'm calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi, Gloria.
And I have a 88 Volkswagen Jetta.
Okay. Yeah.
And she's been pretty good to me for the most part.
Yeah, good.
I started a new job a couple months ago where I'd be traveling about an hour away.
Ooh.
Pretty much highway, you know, like 60 miles each way.
Yeah.
It's very flat.
So it's 60 miles of flat, straight highway.
75, 80 miles an hour.
Got it.
Very boring drive.
Yeah.
And so I noticed that after I've been bored for a while and my foot hasn't moved, all of a sudden I, like, lose power.
Mm.
Like, I'm hitting the gas and I'm not accelerating. And in fact, I'm decelerating, which is very odd and can be dangerous when you have, like, lots of trucks around you.
Yeah, and they're all doing 80 miles an hour.
Right. So I noticed this, got really scared, and there was an exit and pulled over. Started it up again, and it was fine.
Okay.
So, and then the problem goes away. So since then, this has happened several times.
Oh.
And so what I've started doing, I did a little experiment.
Mm.
And started, like, just varying the gas all the time. So making sure to, like, give it gas, not give it gas, give it gas, not give it gas.
And it doesn't happen when you do
that. And then it doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's bogus.
What?
I think it's a nice experiment.
It was quite ingenious.
Saying it's not. That's not what's really going on?
No, but that's okay.
But let me tell you my other trick.
Yeah.
When it happens, I can't keep pulling off the highway all the time. Otherwise, I'll never get to work.
And you'll get fired.
And you'll get fired.
You won't be able to afford to fix the car.
So this is what worries my husband the most when I told him I started doing this.
You throw it in neutral.
Yes. And I turn it off and on while I'm on the highway.
What do you mean turn it off and on? The engine?
Yeah.
So you're coasting.
Yeah, I'm coasting. I throw it in neutral, turn off the radio,
This
whatever.
Was your husband's idea, wasn't it?
No, it was my idea.
No.
I just came up with it, but he's worried that, A, I'm going to, like, blow up the car, or B, I'm going to blow up the car.
But, I mean,
he's not worried about you.
Yeah, he's worried about me.
But, I mean, how do you maintain this 80-mile-an-hour speed with the engine not running?
Well,
tailwind.
You do it real quick, and I go to the slow lane.
Uh-huh.
But if I do it, I notice if I don't do it, I'll slowly just decrease in speed.
Uh-huh.
So, couple questions. A, am I killing my car by starting and stopping it on the highway while I'm moving?
No, you're not, but you might kill yourself.
That's dangerous.
So you have to stop doing that.
In 75, 80-mile-an-hour traffic, I wouldn't want to be coasting.
But I don't coast, really. I mean, it's just instantaneous. turn it off and then on.
Oh, I see. You don't let it coast for long. You just shut the engine off and turn it back on.
Exactly.
So you have some theory. You've had now two theories.
Yes.
You're very good. Are you a researcher of some kind?
I am.
Yeah. I mean, you are. You are.
What do you research?
I do public health research.
Sure. Well, and you're dealing, you probably have in your mind a gigantic orthogonal array, right?
Yep.
And you're trying all these different, as we call them, treatment combinations.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Thank you.
They're both completely stupid.
No, I have no idea about cars. I know that. I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
I'm clueless where cars come in. That bothers me a great deal.
No, but you are a scientific sort. That's good.
Oh, yes, you certainly are. The off and on thing.
Yeah, I like it.
But
I don't know why I
like
it, but I like it. Because you have to do, if you don't do anything, you'll learn nothing.
That's right. You always have to do something.
That's how I feel.
So you've given us now enough information to be able to solve the problem.
Oh, good.
Well, you...
yes.
Well, you yeah. You have. Unfortunately, we haven't solved it yet, but I'm leaning toward...
Are you leaning toward what I'm leaning toward?
What are you leaning toward?
Well, I was
I'm trying to lean toward the wall so I can take a nap.
Well, we can ask her a leading question. When was the last time this car had, like, a tune-up?
About 8 months ago.
8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if the fuel filter was changed at that time?
There you go.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's never had a new fuel pump, but the fuel pump was checked. And
why was it checked?
Why was it checked?
Because you had a previous incident?
Yeah.
Aha!
Oh.
I suspect you have a bad pump.
Yeah.
But they just checked it like 3 weeks ago.
Well, what did they check?
They said it was bringing up fuel.
Oh, so they just looked.
Did they do a pressure test on it? You ought to put a gauge on it.
Did they do that?
I'm not
sure. You weren't there. There are three ways to test a fuel pump.
Okay.
One is the cheap and dirty approach.
Okay.
You disconnect the output line, mm-hmm. you crank the engine, and if gas comes out, you say, it's fine.
Okay.
Which is maybe what they did.
That is the stupid way of checking. The other way is to check the pressure.
All right.
Which is the only right way for this car because it's a fuel-injected car.
Right.
You have to know that you have the right pressure.
Right.
Okay.
And you have to know that you have the right volume because it's possible for fuel to come out but not at the right pressure. It's possible for fuel to come out at the right pressure but not the proper volume.
Okay.
In which case... And any of those circumstances, you have a bad fuel pump. And that's what I think it is, too. And it's only once a month that my brother and I agree on anything.
This is it.
All right.
And you, Gloria from Ann Arbor.
Yay.
See you, Gloria.
Well, thank you very much.
See ya.
Drive safely.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She'll never make it to work again. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dan from Utah.
Hey, Dan. Whereabouts in Utah?
In Salt Lake City.
Where? Can you name another city in Utah? Ames.
Provo.
How about Ames?
Iowa.
That's Iowa. Salt Lake City. Yeah. Okay.
We got you, man.
Well, I've got a blue Nissan pickup truck. I don't suppose the color has much to do with it.
It always does.
Are you kidding?
It always does. And the problem is, I find that when I come up to an intersection, like let's say I come up to a red light, I push the clutch in, and I leave it in gear, thinking that I'll just let the clutch out when I'm ready to go through the intersection. But sometimes the clutch will start to disengage before I let my foot off of it. And so I start rolling into the intersection, and I have to yank it out of gear.
It will start engaging. In other words, it'll start to move.
Right. Okay, it'll start engaging.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I love it.
Really? So is it light blue or dark blue?
It's a light blue.
Light blue.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. It starts crawling.
Right. It'll be like I was slowly letting my foot off the clutch.
Right.
Which you are.
Which I'm not letting
you
my
are.
Foot off
which
the clutch.
You are.
You are. You don't know it, Dan, but you are.
Oh, okay.
You're not doing it, but the clutch is slowly engaging.
This vehicle has a hydraulic clutch.
Okay.
It's leaking.
It has something called a clutch master cylinder, which is attached to your pedal, which provides pressure to another device called the clutch slave cylinder, which is attached to the fork, which holds the clutch release bearing. And so what happens is when you step on the clutch pedal, you pump hydraulic pressure to this slave cylinder, which actuates the fork and disengages the clutch.
So it's the pressure that's making the clutch be disengaged.
And okay. Have you ever driven a car with a bad brake master cylinder? Well, that might be in the cards for you soon.
Yeah.
Cars that have bad brake master cylinders will exhibit the following misbehavior. You'll be sitting at a traffic light, and you're holding your foot on the brake pedal, and very gradually and almost imperceptibly at first, your pedal will begin to sink to the floor. There will be no loss of fluid, but the pedal will sink very slowly to the floor until finally it may be on the floor.
And you've lost pressure.
Because the seals inside the master cylinder are allowing fluid to get past. That's the same thing that's happening to you, except it isn't your brake master cylinder that's failing. It's the clutch master cylinder.
Okay.
So you need to...
And it's unfixable, and you're going to have to sell the truck. I'll give you $50 for it.
So, yeah, you need to replace your clutch master cylinder, and all will be right with
okay.
the world. See you later.
Thanks, bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tracy, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
How are you, Tracy?
Are you a lawyer or a politician?
Neither.
So why do you live in D.C.?
I work for the government.
Do you work for the IRS?
No, I work for a museum.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, you do? Well, that's nice.
Do you have a degree in art history?
I have a master's in museum studies and a bachelor's in art history.
Museum studies? I love it. I'm going to do that myself. Anyway, what's going on, Tracy?
Well, I have a 1991 Honda Civic hatchback DX, and I had started having these electrical problems around Easter. My mom was visiting, so I'm convinced that she has something to do with it because it happened while she was in the car.
Is she a witch?
No, but she hates my car because she can't ever get the passenger seatbelt fastened.
Uh-huh.
And so she had been struggling with that. And we were driving down the road, and I came to the first stop sign, and I pushed the brake, and all of a sudden the fastened seatbelt sign came on, and the noise, when you first get in the car and you turn on the car, the alarm noise or whatever came on. And now every single time I push the brake, the fastened seatbelt noise comes on, and the display on the dashboard comes on. So, and then about a week ago, I was driving and city driving, and I went to honk my horn, and the horn didn't work. And instead of honking, when I pushed the horn, the fastened seatbelt noise came on. Then I found out about that I actually have no brake lights either. So then I got nervous and just stopped driving for now.
No brake lights.
No brake lights.
No horn.
Nope.
Except, instead of the horn, though, you have the flashing light for the seatbelt.
And the noise. The noise.
And the noise.
Yeah, especially the noise.
If only they could hear that outside. It is your mother.
Oh, and I have no. You think it's my mother?
Let's just say that.
Yeah.
You have what we call a miniature Barnum and Bailey. A short circus. Except where is it?
Well, it may not be a short circuit. I mean,
Now, the other interesting thing is that ever since I've had the car, if I have a passenger in the car or I'm driving the car and the passenger gets into the car,
uh-huh.
the passenger door opens and they get in or out, that fastened seatbelt noise goes off again, and it won't stop until I turn the car off.
Since this happened with your mother the first time,
The brake
business.
Mm-hmm.
Has all this other stuff, the horn and the brakes and stuff, happened with someone in the passenger seat as well as without someone in the passenger
yes,
seat?
Yes, yes, because I thought maybe, yeah. I mean, well, it started at Easter when my mom was visiting.
Is your mother, how would I put this delicately, a large woman?
No, she's not at all.
All right, well, we... I mean, I suppose it could be the. I want to tie it all together, but I can't.
Well, let's work on the possibility that she's got five different problems.
Oh! Here's a test you have to do, and you may have done this. If you step on the brake and the brake lights clearly don't work, you've ascertained that.
Yeah.
And the seat belt light goes on. Will that occur even if you're not moving?
No.
Right.
Oh.
You know, it could be. It could be a blown fuse.
Ah. It could be the brake light fuse, for example.
Well, what can happen frequently, and does, is that electricity will travel through the ground wires and energize something that otherwise wouldn't be getting electricity.
Like the beeper.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's possible that replacing one fuse might fix everything.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with that because we have nothing else.
But seriously, I would check the fuses, but this is a sort of thing that you're really going to have to break down and take it someplace and have them
look at it.
Replace all blown fuses and see if anything changes.
Okay. All right.
Good luck, Tracy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, look, do you remember last week's puzzler?
No, I don't, and I'm not ashamed of it either.
Well, let me see if I can refresh your memory.
Go ahead.
With a few fill-in-the-blank hints.
Oh, here we go again.
Here's the first one. You ready?
Yeah.
When you visited the Trevi Fountain in Rome, you made a wish and tossed in your what?
I tossed in my laundry. That was the day I spent in jail. I remember that part of it.
No, I was looking for coins. Coins.
Three
the puzzle
coins
had to do
in a fountain.
With coins. All right, try this one. If I were traveling through the desert by camel like a nomad, with all of my worldly possessions on my back, and you saw me, you might say, there goes what?
There goes my dumb brother on a camel with a bunch of stuff on his back. No?
No, I was looking for a Bedouin. The puzzle was about 8 coins and 2, actually 3, Bedouins, and we'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
I remember it.
Well, I've been saving for a custom van.
And even though Javanese hot coal walkers wince in pain whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was part of the Bedouins in the Desert series and was sent in by someone named Richard Nielsen. You ready?
Yeah, I'm trying to recall. I don't remember.
Well, it's going to come back to you probably in about 5 minutes when I finish reading it. Two Bedouins were traveling across the desert on their way to a distant village. In the middle of the day, they sat down to eat the loaves of bread they had brought with them for lunch. Mm. One had 5 loaves, the other had 3, making a total of 8. Got it?
I'm with you.
Just as they're getting ready to eat, a stranger comes along and asks if he might share their meal. He said, I have plenty of money, but unfortunately no food. The two agree to divide their loaves equally among the three of them. Mm-hmm. After the meal is finished, the stranger lays down 8 coins of equal value for what he had eaten and goes away. The Bedouin with the 5 loaves picks up, 5 coins?
Sure.
And leaves 3 for the other guy. But the other guy says, no, Bedouin breath. Look, we both shared our loaves. We should each get 4 coins. Mm-hmm. Since they couldn't agree, they call in a magistrate.
Happens to be passing.
He happened to be testing out a camel. He was road testing a camel. The magistrate listens to the story and figures out who should get what. So the question was the first guy right? Was the second guy right? Or were they both wrong? And what's the fair way to divide up the money? And I think I'd said that this was, I thought this might be a good SAT question.
Yeah, it is a good SAT.
Well, it turns out they're both wrong.
I knew that.
And the magistrate figures out how they should divide up the money. And here's how we figured it out.
Go ahead.
They had 5 loaves and 3 loaves. Okay, that's 8 loaves.
Yeah.
Let's say the guy with the 5 loaves took and cut his 5 loaves, each of his 5 loaves up into 3 pieces. So he'd have 15 pieces, right?
Okay.
The guy with the 3 loaves does the same. He cuts each of his 3 loaves
into
9 pieces.
Oh, I like it.
Now, interestingly, they have together 24 little pieces of bread.
Yeah.
Ah, conveniently, there were 3 of them. So each person Each of the three is going to eat 8 little pieces of bread.
Yeah.
Now, the guy with the 15 loaves eats 8 of them himself. That means he has given 7 of them to the stranger. The guy with the 9 pieces, the guy with the 3 loaves has cut his up into 9 pieces, but he's going to eat 8 of them and give 1 away.
Exactly.
So the magistrate says the guy with the 5 loaves gets 7 coins and the other guy gets 1. So who's our winner, man?
That's good. The winner is John Boyer from Manhattan, Kansas. And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, John is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. With this $25 gift certificate, he can get a copy of our CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars, which is a great gift for Dad on Father's Day.
Just like it was last year or the year before. In case, well, it comes in handy in case you forgot or your father forgot, get him another one.
And don't forget, this is the right time to order it because you might get it by next Father's Day.
Well, anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. So try to stay awake. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2-2782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Janice from Northampton, Mass.
Hi, Janice.
How are you doing?
Good, good.
You sound perky.
Well, I'm pretty perky.
Yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
Oh, I teach Shakespeare out at a girls' school in Greenfield.
So you're teaching...
And this is a problem that covers about 22 of the teachers that teach at the school.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is big.
22 teachers have this same problem?
Yes.
That's an interesting idea, you know?
Yep.
Before you call...
You round up a bunch of people.
You're going to round up a bunch of people with the same problem.
I did.
That way we can only have to answer one. then we'll be off the air in no time. I mean, we've been milking this job for... All right, what's the problem? The 22 other...
My problem is that I've broken 5 windshields in 2 years. And I thought... And I've been driving for 30 years, and I've never had a windshield break.
Really?
And I think there's a conspiracy with the windshield producers. I think they're producing really flimsy windshields. So I did a little poll, and all these other teachers have the same problem.
No kidding.
Yep. And all the male teachers say, well, and my husband, you were driving behind a big truck. And that's not true, because I was driving behind a Kia Sport the other day, and it happened.
Really?
Oh, so you know the instant that it happens.
Oh, yeah. You know, the little piece kicks up, gets the windshield.
Oh, okay. And is there any similarity in the kinds of cars that these 22 people own?
No, vans, sedans.
American,
no,
Chinese.
No. I looked into that, too.
So you can't find any common thread.
Well, they're all replaced by the class people around here.
Yeah, well, that's the common
thread. That's the common thread.
Yeah.
You mean the guys who drive around with the pebbles in the back of their car?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, it could be. Yeah.
Well, you are correct that the windshield manufacturers are making, what did you call it?
Flimsy windows.
And they are making far flimsier windows than they used to make 10 or 15 years ago because the manufacturers of the cars are trying to increase gas mileage. And one of the ways you increase gas mileage without using really any technology, it's sort of a dummy's way of doing it, is you get the car to get lighter and lighter. Hmm. And windshields now are about half as thick as they were 10 years ago.
Yeah, the next step is Saran wrap.
You got to stretch it really tight or you can't see.
Well, the good thing about that is the rocks bounce right off. So you've had 5, and you obviously drive on the highway.
I do.
Yeah.
It is unusual. I mean, I have to say.
No, other friends had 4, another one had 2.
Over the past 5 years.
Over the past 2 years, they said.
That's very unusual.
Yeah. There's got to be one kid that you're really...
is anybody flunking real bad?
Well...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we can ask all the glass manufacturers, but I say it has to do with the incidence of pebbles. Is there some kind of...
So you think Butchie's Glass is out there...
No,
salting the road, so to speak, with... with pebbles.
No, I think there's some kind of gravel pit around there that people are making. Where is this? Western Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
There must be some granite quarry down around there. And there are trucks driving around with stuff. That's what I'm guessing. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
So these pebbles are just getting flung up off the road.
Yeah, because somebody's driving around dropping them.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's no conspiracy.
It could be a conspiracy. It could be your buddy at the glass company. Because don't forget, he's the only one making money out of this.
Yeah.
Butchie's
Auto Glass and the manufacturers of the windshields, of course. They're making money.
Butchie's Auto Glass and Sand and Gravel Company.
And Charm School. Yeah. Yeah, is he in the business of gravel? You check.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of students there. Let them do a little research and find what other business Butchie's in. And I'll bet you'll find out that Butchie is in the gravel business somewhere.
Okay.
Good luck, Janice.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Shakespeare.
She didn't buy it. 1-888.
I think it's true.
Well, of course it's true. No, I mean, I don't think windows today are that much more vulnerable. Windshields are that much more vulnerable.
Well, you're going to get hit with something. I mean, they are more vulnerable, but you got to get hit with something.
I mean, I've been hit plenty of times with cars that I'm driving.
Yeah?
Yeah, and nothing's ever happened.
Was it a dope slap? Was your wife in the car?
Oh, there's a windshield. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Elliot from Berkeley, California.
Are you a student, professor, or do you sell jewelry on the street?
do you have a falafel truck?
I'm a high school student and part-time revolutionary.
A high school student?
Yes.
No kidding.
Really? And part-time revolutionary.
Oh, yeah.
What are you revolting against?
Who knows? Anything.
Everything, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Great.
It's good to revolt. You know, it is. Don't put up with it, whatever it is.
No, of course not.
Yeah, well, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Whatever it is.
So what's going on, Elliot?
Well, like all people in Berkeley, I own a Volvo.
Yeah, of course. A plain old DL, right?
No, it's a 92 940 GL.
940.
It's got 200,000 miles on it.
Gee, not a 240, not a 740, not an 850, but a 940.
Yeah, there weren't many of those made, but it was a pretty plush car.
What are they going to do next year? 1040, the IRS version.
1040, IRS special. IRS edition.
So I'm sorry, I interrupted again.
200,000 miles, that's pretty good. And that's a nice plush car, isn't it?
It is, and the interior is in beautiful shape. But anyway, it makes a funny sound when it's going. It goes...
I got it. Chickens in the trunk.
That would be good, except that it's coming from the front of the car.
Chickens in the front.
Really?
Yeah. When I'm driving around my great city, it doesn't make any noise.
So you've started it up in the morning, you've started driving around, and it runs fine.
Yeah, and when I'm below maybe 20 miles an hour, it's okay. When I speed up a little, I start to hear it slightly. Once I get it to a highway speed, it is very loud, to the point where I find myself constantly hitting the up button on my radio so that I can hear the radio.
So you must be moving to get the noise.
Mm-hmm. But when I go around turns, it disappears.
Wait, he didn't say that.
Oh, sorry.
If you just sit there in your driveway on the street and rev the engine...
It won't do it. I tried it.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How high did you get the revs?
About 4,000.
That's
too high. You could have blown the engine.
That was crazy to do that. What'd you do that for?
What were you thinking?
What are you, nuts? And where does it sound like this noise is coming from?
It sounds like it's coming from the front of the car. Good. Now, the Volvo people suggested that perhaps it was the sunroof, but if it were the sunroof, it would be coming from above my head, and it's not.
And why did they think of the sunroof?
Because it got me out of the shop quicker.
Oh, so really? So they've heard the noise?
No, they have not heard the noise.
No, you just described it to them.
Yes.
Okay, so you're driving along, and you get to 40 miles an hour, and it starts making chicken noises up in the front, and it just continues constantly?
It continues pretty much constantly. When I start to make a turn, it goes away.
I mean, if it's making this noise really, and you turn the steering wheel, it immediately silences, gone?
Pretty much, yeah.
Get out!
Even maybe a 4 to 5 degree turn will do it. I mean, if I were just to keep the car slightly turned the entire time and just merge lanes, it would be away. It wouldn't come back.
So if you were merging the whole time.
Right, but that would be stupid.
Well, that would be silly, yeah. But but imagine if you were.
And around here, that's an easy way to get yourself a DUI.
Yeah. Well, you could just keep changing lanes.
And it makes no difference whether you go to the left or right these 5 degrees.
No.
All right, Elliot, mm-hmm. You've already told us you're a revolutionary.
Right.
Who put you up to this? Did you make up this whole story, or is this the truth?
No, it's the truth.
It is.
I did not make it up. My carpool can vouch for me.
Oh, you have a carpool?
Yeah, I do have a carpool.
Can we hear from them? Are they there with you? Can
no, they're not around.
Can we hear an amen or something?
Hey, or just a hey, brother. Wow. And when you say it sounds like it's coming from the front, does it sound like it's coming from straight ahead or left or right in the front?
It sounds like it is coming from...
left or right.
Yeah, probably more to the right.
More to the right. Yeah, I like that. Here's what I got.
He's got a rash.
Oh, do tell, do tell.
No, this is unencumbered by the thought process.
Yeah, that's pretty much a given.
I thought I just full disclosure.
The uninitiated, you
full disclosure. You know, I feel a loose fender liner.
A loose fender liner?
Yeah.
Yeah, or a loose fender, or a loose nut behind the wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. Go up onto the wheel well.
Okay.
Right where the tire is, and. Feel around up there. You'll feel like a cardboard or plastic thing.
Yeah, more like plastic.
It'll be plasticky, a light thing, which is the liner to the fender.
Okay.
And that's screwed to the fender.
All right.
I'm guessing that one of those is loose, and if it's coming from the right side, it's the one on the right side.
Well, I'd be willing to bet. I mean, when the guys at Volvo said they thought it was your sunroof.
Uh-huh.
I think they were on the right track and that it is a body kind of noise.
Yeah.
Well, that made sense to me, too.
Yeah. And it's going to require what we call a strapping. We used to, we come across these problems in this shop.
Well, like a strapping young man?
Well.
No, not quite.
No, we strap a young man to the car.
It was usually me. Because, you know, a lot of these noises, you can't tell what they're doing unless you can live through it, you know?
Yes.
And some of us did. And since I'm the one who did, they chose me every time. They would strap me to the hood of the car. And I could hear these noises as my brother was driving down Lansdowne Street at 40 miles an
veering
hour.
Left and right.
And if he could still hear the noise over my screaming. I think you're going to find something loose. I would also check the little air dam that's underneath the front bumper.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things is loose. That's
all
what
right.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw in one last guess that you have something as simple as a tire out of balance.
Oh, I thought of tires. I didn't like the tires idea.
Well, that's just a guess.
Yeah, well, they're all guesses.
Oh, yeah, just another guess. Good luck, hey. Elliot. Keep us posted, so to speak.
Yeah. Great, thanks.
If there are any new interesting revolutions going on, give us a ring.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
We have been so much help to everybody today. It's a great feeling to go home saying, I have helped people solve their problems. I made a difference today.
Yeah, you made a difference, Harry. Hey, well, anyway, in spite of that, it's time for us to take a break, isn't it?
It's about time. I mean, I need a break from the continual onslaught of strange and hard-to-interpret noises, you know?
Hey, that's just what our listeners say.
And we'll be back with a brand-new Puzzler in a minute.
And even though prom queens gag on their asti spumanti whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new, I have to call it...
Folkloric,
cultural, historic.
Oh.
And it's a true story.
Oh.
Well, minus the misrepresentations, the obfuscations, and the outright lying that I'm going to do. But other than that...
Now you will know the rest of the story.
Other than that, I think it's a true story.
Think now you think.
Well, I heard it. It may be a true story.
Everything may be a true story. All right, just give it to us.
It takes place during World War II, and it turns out that a young American fighter pilot had his plane shot up pretty bad, but he managed to parachute out and land in northwest France.
Yeah,
outside a little village where he was discovered by the townspeople, understandably shaken up. But otherwise unharmed. And they realized that they had to somehow get him back to his unit, you know, in England, so he could continue to fly his missions to help liberate France from the grasp of the Nazis. You with me so far? So to this end...
You mean save the sorry, ungrateful butts of the French people?
Something like that, yeah. Okay. So to this end, they figure they have to disguise him and give him some phony ID and the like. So they remove all of his clothing and discard it, including his shoes and his socks.
Of course.
They destroy his dog tags. Mm-hmm. They dress him up. You know, typical French garb. He's got a waist-length woolen jacket. He's got a pair of sabots. He's got a French beret. 2 or 3 days growth of beard. And he even looks French.
I'm with you.
So they of course, travel under the cover of darkness with their American pilot. And he is going to meet with a little boat, which is going to take him across the channel. While their last night in France, they stop at a little inn to enjoy a little repast and some cognac. Yeah. And while they're there, a group of German soldiers comes in.
Was Paul Henried one of them?
Paul Henried. Paul Henried was one of them. And one of the soldiers scans the room. He's out of earshot of any one of these people sitting at this little table.
Yeah.
And he points to this person, and he says, "That's the American." How did he know?
Did they all stand up and say, "Allons enfants de la patrie"?
I saw that movie.
Whoa.
Did I give enough hints? Did I obfuscate, misrepresent, and lie enough?
That was beautifully done.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a ripe melon. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. And if you have a question right now, if you can't wait, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Evan calling from Bellingham, Washington.
Hey, Evan.
Hey, Evan. What's up?
Well, I have a question of an orthopedic nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I had two Toyota Camrys. One was a 92, the other a 95. Mm-hmm. And we sold the 92, and we bought a Toyota Highlander. And
oh, yeah.
What I discovered soon after was that I couldn't drive the car because I had a knee injury. And apparently, because of the pressure on the pedal, the kind of pressure that the Highlander has...
On the gas pedal.
Right. It drove my knee into epileptic fits.
Really?
Yeah. So I went on this mission to try to discover the intricacies of this phenomenon.
And I
drove all these different kind of cars. I'm now an expert on pedal pressure.
Yeah.
So I guess my question, I have three questions. The first is, can you change this linkage so that I can actually drive the car that we now own?
What's it worth to you?
I don't know. The car cost, let's see.
I was going to make you an offer on the car.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, what you want to do is not easily done.
Okay, so that was the second question then is, will it change over time? Like, does it loosen up?
No.
Okay, then the third question is, what kind kind of car can I buy that has pedal pressure, which is softer? Because it seemed like every car that I actually was interested in had a very stiff pedal, like the like an Audi or a Volvo.
I'd recommend a 92 Camry.
Yeah, that was not giving you any trouble. You know, did you have the Arthur Godfrey surgery on your knee? What do they call that?
Arthroscopic surgery, yes, among other things. Yes.
You did have that.
I did have that.
I'd go see the orthopedic surgeon rather than the mechanic because, I mean, he was supposed to fix this.
Yeah, well, he generally did fix it. I can ski. I just can't drive.
Wait a minute. You can ski?
Yeah, but
you
I can't.
You drive
can't
a car.
Gas. I'm going to suggest you tough it out, Evan. Come on.
No, I can't.
I'm going to suggest you tough it out. It can't be that bad. If you can ski, you can drive.
But if I drive...
If I was on your draft board, you'd be 1A.
Well, the thing is that if I drive the car for 4 or 5 hours, I can't ski.
Really?
Can you suggest other cars that might not have this problem?
Well,
I mean, the 92 Camry, I guess.
Yeah, but, I mean, you said you've driven them all, and...
No, in fact, I drove the Highlander, and, of course, not having the problem you have, I didn't notice any difficulty. There are some cars which require more pressure on the pedal than others.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to recommend. You change the gas pedal.
Yeah, I was working on that. It might be possible for you to change the way the gas pedal meets your foot.
Ah.
See, I think the gas pedal is pointing too vertical. Is that true?
Oh, so the angle.
Is it more vertical than the other Camry that you own?
It is, yes, I guess.
It is.
Yeah.
But see, if you built yourself, do you have a Dremel tool? No, if you made yourself a wedge.
Yeah.
So that the bottom part of the wedge hits the floor.
Uh-huh.
And now, and the rest of it rests against the gas pedal, and it comes off the gas pedal at a different angle from where,
yeah,
you
I
with
get
me?
It.
So no, I think you need one of those humongous, remember the dune buggies used to have that big gas pedal that looked like a foot?
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need one of those big feet in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Have you tried adjusting the seat back and reclining more in the seat?
Yeah, messed around with the seat.
Does the seat go up and down?
Not really. You don't have a power seat.
No, not
hard.
Oh,
you don't? No, it doesn't go up and down. Then I would try the wedge because it might be the angle at which your foot is attacking the gas pedal.
Okay.
Either that or get a hand control for the gas.
Well, you could do that.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I'd get ready for basic training, soldier. I think...
That's it.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get one of these hand controls, you can go to our website, and we have a special needs section.
I got it. Here's what you do. You get a hand control, and you try to get a hand control that operates like the accelerator on a motorcycle.
Mm, that sounds exciting.
Wouldn't that be great? So now when you're driving, you vroom, 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 vroom,
oh,
vroom.
Oh, God, you created a monster. Evan,
have those?
Good luck.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think physical therapy is what I'd recommend. See you later, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888.
We did not help him.
I do. You don't really. He
you just
even,
tried to put the fear of God into him, but that ain't going
to
help him.
I told him to tough it out.
Tough it out.
Tough it out, soldier.
But you may have given him bad medical advice.
Oh,
his
sure.
His doctor may not have said tough it out. It may be the worst thing he can do. His doctor may have said, don't ever drive and what to the point where it hurts because you're doing irreparable damage to your ACL.
If he can ski, he can drive.
To your ACLU.
ACLU. Car talk. Will I be able to play the violin when I heal? That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on
Car Talk.
We've
got to get more serious.
Hi, this is Tammy from Norwich, Vermont.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Tammy.
Hi.
Wait, is Norwich the place that's way, 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 way up north?
No, it's right on the New Hampshire border, and it's about halfway up. It's about an hour and a half south of Burlington, just about 7 miles north of White River Junction.
Right, that's not Norwich, that's nowhere.
Oh, it's near White River Junction. I've seen the signs.
Oh yeah, it's right off I-91.
Yeah, of course.
And in fact, that's what my kids say. You know, because friends or relatives call them and say, "So, what's happening there?" And they say, "Absolutely nothing."
Yeah, there ain't much going on, huh?
And they know it already, huh? How old are they?
17 and almost 13.
Oh yeah, they know.
Well, my son, who's 17, has already said that he might like to retire here someday, but he's certainly going to go away in the meantime.
Yeah, for like the next 60 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So why can we help you, Tammy?
Wait a minute. Wait, why are you there if it's such a boring place?
Actually, the reason I'm here, and my kids also, don't let me forget this sometimes, is I came up here to go to medical school at Dartmouth College, which is right across the river from us.
Yeah.
And I stayed for 1 year and had a baby and left and never went back. So like, not only do we live in a boring place, but I don't make the money a doctor would make. So.
Yeah.
So you didn't really have a question, did you, Tammy?
Actually, I do.
Just wanted a chat.
No. My question is, I actually grew up in Massachusetts, about an hour south of Boston, and I learned how to drive in Massachusetts, and my husband learned how to drive in Connecticut, and my mother still lives in Massachusetts, so we go down and visit fairly often, and he comments constantly on Massachusetts drivers. I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
He says they don't signal, they pass on the right, they tailgate, they drive too fast in residential areas, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, but what do we really do wrong?
Well, that's my feeling. I feel like this just is normal to me. None of it seems odd. And, you know, he's not like a road rage kind of guy. He doesn't get angry. He just makes comments constantly the whole time.
But when you say none of it seems odd, does that mean people in Norwich, Vermont drive that way?
Well, there's not that many people on the road.
There aren't any cars.
Yeah, but if you didn't signal, who would know? It's like a tree falling in the forest, you know.
We have, like, two stoplights in our town, you know, and if you don't signal, it's really not that big a deal.
Yeah, well, your husband, I think, is absolutely right.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I mean, we know that the drivers everywhere have gotten worse and worse.
Yeah.
But in Boston, it's especially bad because we have a police department that doesn't care. Yeah, I mean, don't forget, the only reason that people drive more civilly and carefully is the threat of punishment. And when we get behind the car, we're anonymous.
Yeah.
And we can basically do anything we want unless we are punished for doing things that we do incorrectly.
Well, you know, that's a really good point because, and this is interesting, I never thought about that.
Do I add, in my humble opinion, I have no hard evidence, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Actually, I'll tell you the truth. Yesterday, we live in a town of 3,000 people, and the town right across the river is about 6,000.
Yeah.
And I went over there because that's where the grocery store is. So I went over there to get my groceries yesterday, and in the process of going 2 miles from my house to the grocery store and 9,000 people, I saw two police cars with two separate spots pulled over. I'm sure they were just speeding, you know.
Out-of-staters, probably.
But you're right. I think you're probably right. The police here don't have enough to do.
Oh, I know I'm right. I mean, the police have basically given up. Because you can do just about anything in the Boston area. I'd like to do an experiment sometime.
My brother drives naked all the time, and they haven't stopped him yet.
I mean, I would.
They actually stopped him once, and they let him go.
They didn't want to see it again.
No, the guys get out, never mind. Don't get out of the car.
If 60 Minutes is interested in doing the experiment, I would like to drive around Boston and violate every single traffic law there is and see how long I could go before I got stopped by police. I mean, I could go through red lights. I could go right on red. I could go left on red. I could go through red lights. I could speed. I could do anything I wanted.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you I could go for weeks, as most drivers do around Boston, and never, ever be stopped by a policeman.
You didn't take your pill this morning.
I didn't. Well, this is one of those few areas where I get a little crazy.
Well, you know, I was never so embarrassed. No, I guess the right word would be embarrassed. Regarding my driving ability, as the first time I drove in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because for all the bad things you can say about L.A. drivers and all that, they obey the rules.
And the reason they obey the rules, I mean, it's a much bigger city than Boston.
Yes. Yeah,
and they obey the rules because the police.
Oh, there's strict enforcement.
There's strict enforcement, exactly.
And I did things wrong that I had probably little things, like forgetting to signal or making a right turn from the left lane. I mean, those
little things that are perfectly acceptable in Boston, right? I mean, yeah. We have a highway goes around Boston, Route 128.
Yeah, I know
and
it well.
Every single day, if the police cared, they could give out 10,000 tickets or maybe 100,000 tickets to people tailgating.
Yeah.
Instead, they hide. You cannot find a policeman on that road until 2 o'clock in the morning when he could find some stray guy
from Connecticut,
70 miles an hour, right? From Norwich, Vermont, who's doing 70 miles an hour, and he pulls him over in the middle of the night and gives him a ticket.
Well, I think that's another sticking point with my husband and me, because even when I get pulled over, I don't get tickets.
Because you smile.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
whatever works.
I think that's fine. I mean, that's nature. You know.
I agree with you.
And well, that's okay.
But he is right. I mean, we are in Massachusetts a bunch of inept lawbreakers.
We're disgusting. I personally don't drive anymore. Because it was too stressful.
Oh.
On everyone else.
Because you can't drive without getting angry. There is no way to drive without getting angry because everyone is such a jerk.
Yeah, oh dear.
And so I sold my car and I walk.
They made him sell it.
They made me sell my car. They actually came to my house and took it away.
That's right.
Yeah, the police did. Well, that's what they're doing in their spare time.
Keeping nuts like you off the road. See you, Tammy.
Thanks a lot.
Tammy. Thanks for calling, Tammy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've evaporated another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Detroit Demitasse Decathlon, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our race team driver is Andy Zoff. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Look Out of Window. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard Before, and our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DePlume. Our dermatologist for teenagers is Don Pickett. The manager of the Car Talk listener rebate program is Wendy Pigsfly. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey. Known to the authentic Chilean musicians from South Boston in Harvard Square as Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't remember, don't drive like me.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1421, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, get outfitted for summer.
Oh, yeah, the Car Talk clothing that we sell is so threadbare that you wouldn't dare wear it in the winter.
That's the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR Fire Brigade runs a drill and chops down the studio door whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.